comparisons are more commonly drawn between the 1918 flu pandemic and today. But the polio outbreak is actually the more apt one. Today we hear nonsense about injecting disinfectant into the body to battle coronavirus. Back then, it was hanging mothballs around your child's neck to prevent the scourge popularly known as infantile paralysis. Today, there's the hyping of the malaria drug, hydroxychloroquine, to battle a disease it was not meant to battle. Back then, it was mixing a paste made of wintergreen, Russian thyme, and the oils of rosemary, cagefoot, and wood, and rubbing them into the muscles. If you think sheltering in place in your climate-controlled, Wi-Fi streaming, cable-equipped home seems tough, try doing it in a blistering summer before there was air conditioning, or internet, or even television. As Mark Twain is said to have said, history does not repeat itself, but it often rhymes. And the two epidemics, 104 years apart, are forming a tidy couplet. New York and other cities shut down then as they have shut down now. In the first week of July, 1916 alone, 552 children in New York's five boroughs were stricken with polio, and more than 1,000 the second week. Even before that feverish fortnight, the city health commissioner, Haven Emerson, the great nephew of the poet Waldo Emerson, made it his business to keep New Yorkers apart. Children under 16 were not permitted in crowded public places. Open-air movies and new summer attractions were forbidden. 4th of July celebrations were canceled. As COVID-19 might be, polio is a seasonal disease, though the polio virus prefers the hot months, and SARS-CoV-2, which causes COVID-19, is at least thought to prefer the cool ones. Now, as in 1916, the push for a vaccine is thus a cyclical one, a race against a viral time bomb set to go off by the calendar. While the clamor for a vaccine was loud after the polio epidemic of 1916, the wait was long. It was not until the summer of 1935 that there was hope, in the form of two great field trials, one by Dr. Maurice Brody and Dr. William Park of the New York City Department of Health, and one by Dr. John Colmer of Temple University in Philadelphia,